All right, well, good evening. How are y'all doing this evening?
Good.
That's good. Ready to praise the Lord some?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to start out by singing Holy Ground.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where He is holy. These are holy hands. He's given us holy. I worship You, O mighty God, there is none like You. I worship You, O Prince of Peace, that is all I want to do. I give You praise, for You are my righteousness. There is none like You. I worship You, O mighty God. There is none like You. I worship You, O Prince of Peace. That is all I want to do. I give You praise. My righteousness. And I worship You, O mighty God. There is none like You. There is none like You. There is none like You. Isn't He beautiful, beautiful, isn't He? Prince of Peace, Son of God, isn't He? Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, isn't He? Counselor, Almighty God, isn't He, isn't He, isn't He, isn't He? tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that held our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and brought us God's salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Do a pick of him. Pick of him. Anybody got a hymn? 750? Somebody heard of 750. Let's see what that is. All right. Peace like a river.
I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul.
Amen. Please welcome Pastor Steve. Good bass notes.
Okay, so Sharon did get that operational Saturday, right? All right. Sharon's surgery. Foot surgery. All right, all right. Foot surgery. Success. What else, what else? Praises. Amen. Visitors. It's always good to have visitors with us. Amen. Other praises. Anybody else? Praises. Yes, ma'am. Oh, amen. All right. Think you had a touch of that Omicron variant? Oh, yeah. You got something from the hospital, sister, huh? Yeah. Yeah. It's a cold. It's something. You never can tell, man. I'm glad you're feeling better. Ain't it amazing how God made us to get over that stuff? God make him little antibodies and get you all better well. That's good, good, good. Feeling better. Amen. All right, all right. What else? Other praises. Yes, ma'am. You had something there, Pat? Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I take about twice as many. That little one, the Hansa kid, she's something, boy. I tell you. Yeah, them days are over. Yeah, she's warmed up. Yeah, she's definitely warmed up. She's something else. She came in with that unicorn tattoo on this morning, you know, one of the little three-day tattoos, like a unicorn. She said, "You're not going to kick me out, are you? You gonna kick me out? You going to kick me out?" I said, "No, I'm not going to kick you out." I said, "Come here and give me a hug. You can have a unicorn tattoo on." She goes, "You going to kick me out?" I said, "I'm not going to." I'm going to get Daniel, because I guarantee you Daniel put her up to that. So that preacher going to kick you out with that unicorn tattoo on? No, I'm not kicking that baby out. Bless her heart. She goes, "It's a unicorn tattoo." You know, she's just talking as precious as she can. Sweet. Yeah, more kids. Praise the Lord. What else? Praises. Anything else? Yeah. Amen. All right. Did not lose his job. Man, oh man. All right. Way to go, Brother Brian. What else? Anything else? Praises. Testimonies. Anybody got a testimony? Or an encouraging passage of Scripture? Okay. First Thessalonians 5:18. Okay. Very good. Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen. What is it wanting us to do? What does it say in 4:6? If you do this, what does it want us to do? You understand what I'm saying? Read 4:7 again. Yeah, okay. Amen. Amen. All right. Be anxious for 4:6 says, which ties into 4:7. Be anxious, or let's go. Let's even go back all the way up to 4:5. It says, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near." 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts." Amen. So if you are a praying person, right? Amen. If you're a praying person, you're going to be a what? Peaceful person. Amen. You're going to have some peace about you. All right. Very good. Amen. Philippians 4:7. What else? Anybody else got a passage? Yes, ma'am. Of God. Amen. 1 John 3:1. Outstanding. Amen. All right. Y'all have any prayer requests? If you do, James is going to run you the... Got to be on a microphone. Everybody's got
to
hear.
Everybody wants to hear what... If it's not here, it's on TV. Wants to hear what we're praying
for. They want you to speak through that microphone. How many we got online?
You got one.
All right, online people. Good to see you tonight.
She needs all the help she can get.
She wants to pray for her daughter, Kathy.
Okay.
You know... She needs all the help she gets. You know, it's this time of season. She just lost her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's really heartbreaking.
Miss Bill's daughter, Kathy.
My great-granddaughter, Elliot, was taken to the emergency room last night with a cold, running a fever. So, but she's doing okay now on antibodies.
Hey, she got the COVID?
No.
No COVID.
Cold, sniffle.
All right, Ellie.
Yeah, Elliot, 13 months old.
Oh, my goodness. 13-month-old. went to the ER. She may have that RSV. No? You don't know? She's already home. 32-month-old went to the ER, running fever, already home. Okay. Pray for her healing. All right. Okay. What else?
Ronnie Holman.
Yeah, Ronnie, brother Ronnie Holman.
And Alita's back and for her to get a job.
All right. Brother Ronnie Holman and his cancer, and then Miss Alita recovering from back surgery. Back surgery and job. Okay, what else? What else? Yes, ma'am.
And pray for Robert. He knelt down on a piece of glass at work.
Oh.
And it looked like it went all the way in. And we're not 100% sure if it's still in his knee or not, but he's at home. It's all swelled up. And he had to fill out a report at work. Might have to do the workman's comp thing. But he's thinking there may not be it, may not be in there. So just
if it's swelled up, he needs to get to the doctor ASAP mañana.
Yeah.
That tetanus, man. When's the last time he's had a tetanus booster?
Probably not for a while.
Oh, he's got to go.
It was glass.
Well, but it, yeah, it's still tetanus.
And it's swollen, so.
Oh, tetanus.
Yeah.
Tell him if he don't go, I'm coming by tomorrow and picking him up.
Robert, are you listening online? No, I will tell him, brother.
Yeah, he's got to get a tetanus booster.
And then also for the, I want to keep the Stamball family lifted up, that they would just, God keep working on their heart. They start coming.
Yeah.
And then that God would just give us all the grace we need, patience, discernment, and protection on carrying all these kids to go caroling.
Yeah, amen. Carolyn on Wednesday.
Yeah, to Miss Sakura and Brother Hyman's place to go caroling, and then we're going to head over to Dasher Lights, and so
okay,
just pray for our safety, and that we'd have a good time in the Lord.
Wednesday.
Fun.
Amen. All right.
Yeah, let's lift up Terry Kimball.
Yes.
And she's out of country and pretty close to what's going on over there in Africa.
Right.
She'll be traveling back.
Traveling back here pretty quick.
She'll be traveling back this week. So
oh, okay. Vince. Traveling back this week, I guess, too.
Yeah, Vince said she'd be wouldn't be back till Thursday.
Yeah, they have finished the clinical. They are, we're going to do some sightseeing and then make their way home.
Yeah.
So they're... But we want to pray for their traveling mercies back for sure. That's what's the name of that organization?
Samaritan's Purse.
No, it's not with Samaritan's Purse. It's with a local guy in Magnolia. God, what is the name of that thing?
Rescue Hope.
Thank you. That's right. Rescue Hope. That is correct. All right. Anything else?
Continue praying for my friend Lourdes up in Chicago.
Lourdes.
She has been moved into rehab with her RSV virus that she had, plus her fluid overload.
Yes.
And her little grandson is still in the hospital with it.
Oh, my.
And I haven't heard how he's doing yet, but I'm hoping he's doing good, so we just keep praying for him. And then my friend Dennis, he went through his surgery, and he's back home now, and he seems to be doing okay. I haven't got to go see him yet, but I plan to Tuesday afternoon sometime because I'm off. And my son and his wife, I want to lift them up to the Lord, kind of unspoken.
Okay.
So he knows what they need and so forth.
Amen. What's your son's name?
Robert Jr.
Robert Jr. And the wife?
Jayla.
Okay. And Jayla?
Jayla. J-E-L-A-L, I think.
Jayla. Got it. All right. Just help for the marriage. All right. Anything else? Yes, sir.
I want to lift up John.
Yeah,
he's
John.
He's had high blood pressure.
Yeah.
Got to lift up him, you know. He's the hard worker. He don't say much about himself, but he does a lot at this church.
Yeah, right.
Give him all the praise and just take care of him.
Amen.
And I want to pray for Paul, too, my brother. In Christ, you know, he's the same thing. He's not feeling well with all this chemo or medicine he takes. So I lift up Paul to you and his beautiful wife, Pat,
who Amen.
Takes care of him.
Amen. Anything else? We get it all? All right.
Unspoken. All right.
All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Amen. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We're thankful that we can gather in your name and, Lord, have your presence here with us this evening. We thank you for meeting with us and for blessing us with your presence and, Lord, leading and guiding us as we go through these prayer requests. Thank you that we can bear one another's burdens, Lord, and lift these things up to you. We praise you that you're the God of all creation. You are the great physician, Lord. You're the great healer. And, Lord, you're the great helper, Father. We're so thankful that you're for us and you're not against us, Lord, but you're wanting to help us and mold us and make us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we praise you tonight for our Savior. We thank you, Jesus, for our salvation. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here tonight. We praise you tonight, Lord, for Sharon's foot surgery going well. We're praying now for a good recovery and for no infection. And, Lord, for a good rehab, that she'd be able to rehab that foot and get that foot back to where it was. And, Lord, we just pray you see her through with that. We do praise you for the visitors we've been having over the last several weeks. Lord, we pray that they would just continue to come and some would actually join the church and become a part of our church, Lord. Others would find the church that they're supposed to be in. But, Lord, we're thankful that folks are beginning to come after the pandemic. And, Lord, we pray that the numbers would just continue to build back, Lord. We pray you give us everything that we can handle here as a people and that we would be good stewards of the folks that you bring to us, their gifts and their energies and, Lord, everything that that comes with them. Just help us be good stewards, Lord, as these people come and become a part and join the church. Lord, we're thankful that Miss Loopy's feeling better. We pray that you continue her on a path of healing. And, Lord, just help her not come down with any other colds or any other sicknesses at this time. Lord, we're thankful for the kids that you've been putting in here each and every Sunday for Children's Church. Lord, what a blessing that is. And then, Lord, for Brian Tosh, some job anxiety. We're thankful that Brian got to keep that job, and Lord, he's still gainfully employed. So, Lord, we praise you for that. Lord, as we come and lift up these unspokens to you tonight, we thank you that you hear us. Lord, as we just voice these things up to you silently, thank you, Lord, that you hear these unspokens and that, Lord, you're keeping them one more week and that you're working in the background and that you're sovereign and in control and it's your timing and not our timing. And so, Lord, we just praise you and thank you we can give these things to you. Lord, we lift up Miss Bill's daughter to you, Kathy, and the loss of her husband. We pray that you help her through this difficult time of the holidays, of Christmas. Lord, the loss that she's going through and she's feeling, we just pray that you would comfort her, Lord. You would give her what she needs. And, Lord, even through her mom, Miss Bill, you would just pour comfort, words of grace and love through her to Kathy. But Lord, we just lift that situation up to you. We lift up little Ellie to you, a little 13-month-old baby. Just got home from the ER, running fever and sick. Lord, we pray that she not get anything else and that, Lord, you just bring her to full health. And thank you, Lord, that she's on the mend. We continue to pray for Ronnie Holman, Lord, and his cancer diagnosis and his cancer treatment. We pray that you might bring healing to his body. Lord, you might deliver him from this cancer. You might remove this cancer from his body. Lord, we just continue to lift Brother Ronnie up to you. We pray for Miss Alita. And, Lord, as she recovers from back surgery, we pray you bring this back together and mend it. Take the pain away, Lord, the discomfort as this body comes back together, Lord. I just pray the discomfort, a little bit of pain she's feeling, is just the body healing itself, Lord. And I pray that the scar tissue would not be too much. It would not be excessive. And, Lord, as she gets moving more and going more, that that old scar tissue would begin to break up a little bit and she not have the pain that she's experiencing now. We pray you might open a door or doors for gainful employment as she seeks to get back in the workforce to finish out her work career. So, God, you're in control of that, and she's ready and willing. And, Lord, you know what she can do, her gifts and abilities and talents. And so, Lord, we just pray you match her up with the right job, with the right position, with the right company. We lift up Robert to you tonight, Lord, and we pray for this injury to his knee. And, Lord, we pray that this might not be anything serious or any kind of infection, but, Lord, we pray that he might get the opportunity to take a good precaution and get a tetanus booster. And, Lord, that he not struggle with any kind of tetanus reaction. Just watch over Robert. Help him, Lord. Help him get in tomorrow or sometime beginning of this week so he can get that injection. And, Lord, we continue to pray for the Stanball family and comfort them as they go through this time of loss, losing Hoppy. And, Lord, we pray you might draw this family back to Christ and back to the church. Lord, help somebody in that family take the lead. And, Lord, be a light. Be a gospel sower in the midst of that family that the others would listen to and perhaps follow through and follow suit. Lord, we're praying for the Carolyn program this coming Wednesday as the kids go out. Pray for safety as they travel. And Lord, just watch over them. We pray they'd be a blessing to the families that they carol for and that the kids just have a good experience as well ministering. And Lord, we just pray that they have a good time, a safe time, and that you get them back here to the church safely, Lord. We lift up Terry Kimball and Rescue Hope as they get ready to travel back from Africa, Lord. We pray that you make their path straight and that the flights are safe and they're not held up. And, Lord, they don't come in any contact with this new variant that's going around. We just pray you protect them and watch over them, Lord, as they make their way back to the state. We lift up Lardis in Chicago, struggling with RSV and this fluid and her recovery and rehab. Lord, we just pray you see her through. And the little grandson that's still in the hospital from RSV, we pray you see him through, God, and you help him and bring healing to his body. And then Bobby's friend Dennis, recovering from surgery, we just pray that he would continue to heal and get through this, Lord, and get back to normal and get back to doing and going as he was before he had these health problems. Then, Lord, we lift up Bobby's son, Robert, and his wife, Jayla. We pray for their marriage. We just pray you might help that situation, Lord, to give them wisdom and guidance, Lord, and discernment. We pray that they would put Christ in the center of their marriage, put God in the center of their home. And, Lord, we just pray that that might be an encouragement to them. That might give them some help, some wisdom, and some direction. We lift up Brother John and his health issues with his gastro and high blood pressure. We pray for him, Lord, that he would, Lord, you would lead, guide, and direct him as he seeks medical care and treatment for that. And for Brother Paul, Lord, we lift him up as he continues to go through this chemo regimen. We pray for good days in the midst of the bad. And, Lord, we pray for less pain, less discomfort, less tired, Lord. We pray that he would just be able to power through this chemotherapy regimen as he treats his former cancer. We pray his cancer not come back. That God, you keep him cancer-free, and that, Lord, you'd give him a good six-month checkup, Lord, a good year checkup, and that, Lord, he'd not have to deal with cancer again. So, God, we just lift that situation up to you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for the Bible. We thank you for your word. And, Lord, we just pray that you lead us and guide us as we continue on our series of messages, series of Bible studies on this great book of Revelation. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. Chuck is sicker than a dog, huh? All right. All right, well, let's pray for Chuck. Lord, we lift up Chuck Heibarger to you tonight. We pray, Lord, you touch his body and bring healing to him. Lord, as he's contracted a bad stomach virus, food poisoning, something, Lord, that's just got him all torn up. So, God, we lift him up to you. We pray you help him through that. Get him on the path to healing as he will be taken care of Sharon here in a day or two as she gets released from the hospital. So, Lord, we lift that situation up to you. Pray a hedge of protection around that situation. Pray you help him. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. Yes, yes, yes. And I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Revelation 16, we'll begin reading here at verse 1. We'll take it through verse 12. We'll not cover all this, but we will kind of get an introduction to it as we read it. And then we'll read it again on Wednesday night. Word of God reads in Revelation chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God.' So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. I heard the angel of the water saying, 'Righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it.' And I heard the altar saying, 'Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments.' The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east." All right, thank you all for standing in honor the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, last time we attempted to introduce these plagues to you, these seven plagues, and so with the introduction done, we're going to dive right in, amen? We're going to try to get through a couple of these here this evening. The first one, or do y'all have any questions or comments on the introduction? Anything? Anything needs to be scratched there on the introduction? You're all good with that? It's amazing what's coming. Here it is. Plague number one, those of you watching with us online. The first plague, or the first bowl, is the plague on the unrepentant and rebellious sinner. The unrepentant and rebellious sinner. Verse 2 says, "So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image." Responding immediately, and I mean immediately, to God's command, the first angel went and did what? He went and poured out his bowl on the earth. Now, as we noted in a previous Bible study, the bowls were actually shallow saucers. Their contents are not slowly or gradually poured out, but their contents are rather dumped out all at once. So the sloshing out of the first bowl results in a loathsome and malignant sore that afflicts a certain people, right? So let's get the Greek involved as we think about this first plague. Loathsome and malignant. All of your Bibles say loathsome and malignant. NASB, King James Version, NIV, loathsome and... What do you have for... I've got loathsome and malignant. What kind of sore do you, does your Bible say? Okay, what does yours say? And what does yours say? Horrible. Okay, anybody else got anything different? For these words, loathsome and malignant, translate two general Greek words for evil. Okay, for evil. The two Greek words are kakos and poneros. Okay, poneros, kakos and poneros. Used together, these two Greek words for evil, they stress that the sores will be festering, that they will be painful, that they will be incurable. You're not going to go to some Walgreens or CVS and buy them out of all the ichthyol that they have, and you're not going to take ichthyol and put on gauze and just smear. It ain't going to work. Ichthyol ain't going to do it, okay? So ichthyol, what's the other one? Antibiotic, triple action antibiotic ointment, that ain't going to work. Neosporin ain't going to cut it. I mean, dude, they're going to be bad. Used together, these two Greek words stress that the sores will be festering, that they will be painful. that they will be incurable. Now, sore, as I look at verse 2, and I saw something, oh, let me get to the right verse. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl. So loathsome and malignant, sore in verse 2 translates helkos in the Greek, and that is the Greek equivalent of the Latin word from which the English word ulcer is derived. So you know how painful an ulcer is in your mouth? Any of you get those ulcers? I get those ulcers when I get acidic foods. I love pineapple, right? How many of you like pineapple? You pineapple eaters? I love pineapple. You like tomato? Love tomato. You like citrus, lemon, lime, oranges? Y'all into that, amen? If I eat that, okay, if I eat that and then 15, 20 minutes, if I don't go rinse my mouth out or go brush my teeth, the following day, I'll have an ulcer on the tongue, on the gum, somewhere. I mean, I got to watch it. It's painful. And that ulcer sticks around for 2 weeks, 10 days, 14 days. Painful. These ain't going to heal up at all. Ulcer, right? These sores are the ones that covered Lazarus' body. Let's look at Luke chapter 16, verse 21. Kind of give you a little flavor of it here. Luke 16, 21. Everybody got it? Word of God reads in Luke 16, 21, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table, besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores, right? So these are inflamed, these are oozing, these are ulcerous sores, such as those that Lazarus the beggar had. We can go even further back to Exodus chapter 9. Take them Bibles and get on back to the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Go to Exodus 9. You there? Exodus 9. All right, Exodus 9, beginning in verse 9. We're talking about the plagues of boils. It will become, Exodus 9, 9 through 11, it will become fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and it will become boils breaking out with sores on man and beast through all the land of Egypt. So they took soot from a kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it toward the sky, and it became boils breaking out with sores on man and beast. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as on all the Egyptians, right? Job chapter 2, verse 7, same kind of sore, all right? Same kind of ulcerative sore. What did Job do? He took a piece of pottery and he would scrape. Oh, man, yeah, can you imagine? So that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're talking about. Now, they will bring, the sores will bring unrivaled physical torment to those who have rejected Jesus Christ. The sores will not affect believers whose names have been what? That's right. Take your Bibles and get on back to Revelation. Revelation, we're in 16. Let's look at 13. Revelation 13. And look at 13:8 with me. 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. These sores will come only upon those who chose to follow Antichrist, received his mark to show their allegiance, per 13, 16 through 17, and worshiped his image, chapter 13, verse 12. Now, in 14, 9 through 11, an angel describes their ultimate fate. Now, let's look at 14, verses 9 through 11. If you were in 13, that's not too far off. 14, 9 through 11, you got it? Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. So Revelation 14, 9 through 11 describes what? That describes eternal judgment. Our passage here, where are we at? Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Our passage, our present passage, describes temporal judgment. Judgment in the here and now. So Antichrist's followers are suffering the consequences of having rejected the preaching of the gospel and the warning of the angel given in 14 verse 7. These inflamed, incurable, yucky sores may be very similar to those that even Zechariah, the minor prophet Zechariah, wrote about in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. Zechariah 14, 12 says, "Now this will be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the peoples who have gone to war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they stand on their feet, and their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongue will rot in their mouth." Yeah. So, a sore on the outside is a sign of what? It's a sign of an infection. It's a sign of rottenness. It's a sign of something going on the inside. God is clearly, by striking them with these ulcerative sores, these oozing, these painful, malignant, and loathsome sores, your Bible says horrible, these things, God is clearly revealing the condition of these lost sinners. He is putting on display the corruption of their hearts through the corruption in their bodies and on their bodies. So just as it was in ancient Egypt, these boils only afflict the enemies of God. Those who are trusting the Lord are what? They spared this judgment. They are spared the judgment. Amen? Still with me? All right. Number two, we have the plague in the sea. Look at verse 3. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. Now the Bible says every living thing. Every living thing in the sea died. What did dead things do in the sea when they die? They float up to the top. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Now this is what you're getting the picture of. Now you're getting the cumulative effect, the cumulative impact of the plagues. Now we're seeing it, how it begins and it doesn't let up. It's not malignant and loathsome sores, and then we're going to wait 3 months, or we're going to wait 6 months, or we're going to wait 2 years. It's not the malignant, loathsome, sore pandemic, and then we're going to play around with it for two and a half years, and then the sea's going to... No. It's malignant and loathsome, and then on the heels of malignant and loathsome sores, you've got the plague in the sea. You get the cumulative impact of the plagues. We see this starting to unwrap and unravel. One of the reasons the bowl judgments will be so devastating is that their effects are one right after another. Before the sores of the first bowl could heal, the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea. Now, this judgment is similar to the first plague in Egypt. Exodus chapter 7, verses 20 through 24. Back to Exodus. Don't lose your place in Exodus, because we'll be going there. Exodus 7. You get there? Almost. Exodus 7. All right. 20 through 24. So Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord. Exodus 7, beginning in verse 20. Exodus 7, 20. So Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded, and lifted up the staff and struck the water that was in the Nile, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. And the blood was through all the land of Egypt. But the magicians, notice what it says, but the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened and did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then Pharaoh turned and went to his house with no concern even for this. So all the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the Nile. It's also similar. That's a very localized event, as we talked, as we introduced these plagues last week. And then we see kind of the same type of thing happen to a third of the oceans in Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 through 9. But this time, the effects will be so much more intense and widespread, since the oceans cover approximately what? Two-thirds of the earth? Approximately 70% of the space of the globe is covered by the oceans, right? The earth's surface covered with water. This judgment will be worldwide. After the angel dumped his bowl, the sea, which is vitally important to all life on earth, became like blood, like that of a dead man. Blood like that of a dead man. To the amazement, to the horror and the despair of the world, the oceans will no longer be fluid, but will become thick, will become dark, will become coagulated like the pool of blood from someone who has been stabbed or shot to death. Exactly what supernatural means God will use to destroy the oceans is above my pay grade. It is not revealed here in the passage, but the effects will resemble those of the phenomenon known as the red tide. But I would say you would wrap that up to the 10th or the 20th or the 30th power, because you're literally coagulating the water and it is no longer fluid any longer. Imagine just for a moment the stench from the dead, decaying bodies of everything in the sea. It will be a smell like no other. Our minds literally struggle with the enormity and the scale of that smell. I mean, trying to figure that out? I mean, that's going to be vast, right? The seas will become vast cemeteries. Beaches will no longer attract the sun worshipers and the pleasure seekers. Instead of being thronged with crowds of sunbathers, the world's beaches will be choked with the rotting carcasses of billions of dead sea creatures. The transforming of the world's seas into putrid pools of stinking death will be a graphic testimony to the wickedness of man and the reverse of the day when God originally gave life to all sea creatures per Genesis chapter 1, verse 21. Now, imagine the impact that this will have on the environment, just for a moment. I mean, if you're a tree hugger living in the day, it's going to push you over the top, man. I mean, this is going to do you in. I mean, people want to save the whales, there'd be no more whales to save, right? People want to save this species, there'd be no more species to save. It's done, it's over, it's fini, right? It's finished, right? I mean, the scale of it's unbelievable. Most of the rainwater the earth receives, think about this, most of the rainwater the earth receives comes from moisture that evaporates from the oceans of the world. That's going to stop. No more evaporation means greatly diminished rainfall on the earth. This will cause a drought of worldwide proportions. Remember that drought you guys had around here? How many years ago has that been? 6 or 7? It's awful, right? Those people living in California, they know all about drought and wildfires and all that. It's going to be worldwide drought. Now, consider the fact that this world is largely dependent on the oceans for its food supply. Billions of people receive the abundance of their daily food supply, their protein, their source of protein, from the ocean. Without this source of food, millions will face starvation. Consider the socioeconomic impact of this plague that it will have on commerce and shipping. Those big old tankers aren't going to move in that stuff. It's going to be over. The ports are going to be locked up and locked in with coagulated, dead-infested muck that they were once floating in. I don't know how the buoyancy of that's going to work. It's going to be a mess, I can tell you that. I would suspect that shipping will come to almost a complete halt. They'll try to figure out something. Can we go on top of it? Can we plow through it? I don't know. One by one, God is tearing down all the things men take for granted, right? Men take for granted their health, and men take for granted the sea. And one day in the tribulation, at the end of it, those two things are going to be taken away. First, their health is destroyed, and then the oceans are destroyed. The coastal regions of every nation in the world will become abandoned wastelands as the oceans are transformed into vast coagulated seas of death. Just imagine Jell-O. And what's the flavor? Death. A whole sea of Jell-O, and it's nothing but death. That brings us to the third plague. We'll move on. That is the plague in the rivers and streams. We've got the plague of unrepentant and rebellious sinners, or on unrepentant rebellious sinners. Secondly, the plague in the sea. Thirdly, the plague in the rivers and streams. 16:4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. So what happened to the Nile River in Egypt, per Exodus chapter 7, verse 20 through 24 that we read, now happens to the world's entire supply of fresh water. It's happened to the oceans. Now it's going to happen to the fresh water. The contamination of the world's oceans will be an environmentalist's worst nightmare, but the destruction of the world's remaining fresh water supply will be a catastrophic, staggering blow to fallen humanity. By the time the third bowl is poured out, fresh water will be in critically short supply, right? Critically short supply. The third trumpet judgment in chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, will result in the poisoning of one-third of the world's fresh water. This takes care of the rest of it. Additionally, the two witnesses will have the power. Remember the two witnesses going to preach? The two witnesses will have the power to shut up the sky so that rain will not fall during the days of their prophesying, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood, per Revelation chapter 11, verse 6. The temporary restraining of the earth's winds, per chapter 7, verse 1, will also cause drought. So you got no more water evaporating from the seas to make the clouds to rain, right? And then you've got all these other things that we've mentioned. So, Pastor, what is happening to the earth? It's yucky and it's dry and stinks. And water is coming. You think, did they ration water during that drought back 6 or 7 years ago? Huh? There's not going to be no water. But you know how in California they talk about, you know, people taking out their yards and they're putting in this astroturf, you know, for grass. And then people in Las Vegas, you know, they have rock gardens for front yards. They don't have grass because, you know, water, they ration water. And water's expensive. It's a lot more per gallon than it, or per 1,000 gallons than it is here. You ain't going to be getting billed by the thousands. You're going to be getting billed by the tens of gallons, or by the ones of gallons. It's going to be tight. The destruction of what is left of the earth's fresh water will cause unthinkable hardship and suffering. With no wind to move the clouds and no weather systems, the hydrological cycle will be disrupted and no to very little rain will fall. We read these things. We read these plagues, short little snippets. But man, when you start thinking about the implications, I mean, it just goes, it's just a domino effect. It just goes on and on and on. There will be no water to drink. There will be no clean water to wash the oozing sores caused by the first bowl judgment. No water to bring cooling relief from the scorching heat that the fourth bowl judgment will shortly bring. It's not going to be a place that you're what? That you want to be. The scene is so, and we're just to the third. We're just to the third plague. The scene is so unimaginably horrible. I can say it. The scene is so unimaginably, there it is, unimaginably horrible that people will wonder how a God of compassion, how a God of mercy, and how a God of grace could send such a judgment. Well, you know why he's sending it. He sent you the gospel. He sent you an invitation for salvation. He gave you the command to get saved. And you said, I'm talking to the people in the tribulation, the lost people, and you folks said you would rather take the mark of the beast and worship his image. Yeah. We and God, he's a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, right? Even in the tribulation, he's a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. But eventually what? Something runs out, don't it? Something runs out. I mean, praise God, it didn't run out on us. Amen? You turn before you burned. Amen? You turned before you burned. You turned and repented of your sins and got saved before it was eternally too late. That's the praise God. Amen? Well, what's the takeaway? Hey, man, the takeaway is that you got the first advent. You understood the first advent. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Amen? You understood that. Praise the Lord for that. Because you did that, you're going to get to enjoy the second coming, the second advent, right? It's something you get to look forward to before the person who rejects the gospel, who rejects Christ, and they're clueless. They're clueless. They don't even have a clue. For them, it's not going to be very good. For them that live through it all. And, you know, we're talking about plagues. We're talking about the seals. We're talking about the trumpets. We're talking about all these things. Until we get to here, there's going to be a lot of people that have died already, right? But the people that are left, the people that are still rejecting Christ, the people that have taken the mark, the number, people that are worshiping the image, woe is them, right? Amen? So, praise the Lord for what? Why do you think, did you give me the verse on Thanksgiving? Was that you, 1 Thessalonians? Yeah? Yeah. I mean, man, thank him every day. For what? For your salvation. Amen. For your salvation. Thank him every day. Because it's a salvation worth what? Thanking God for every day. Amen? Yes, sir. Yeah, it's a choice. Well, I'm talking about people today. I'm talking about people today that are clueless. I mean, think about it, John. Honestly, Jesus could come. Jesus could rapture the church anytime, right? Jesus could rapture the church anytime. So there could be people that we know, that we have, I mean, we just know them. We're friends, we're family, or whatever, but they're lost, right? We're raptured, they're left, right? And, you know, some of those people are going to be clueless all the way through. They're going to take the mark. They're going to worship the image, right? They're going to hear. Yes, ma'am, go ahead. Okay. What verse is that, babe? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There are two schools of thought. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we'll look that up, and we'll try to bring some clarity to that next time we get together. It won't be Wednesday night because you'll be singing carols, but I'll remember that for next Sunday night, this Believe the Lie passage. But there, Loopy does bring up a point. There is a school of thought that believes once the church is raptured, the perception or how they interpret is that the Holy Spirit has been taken out with the church, right? And so how can anybody lost get saved, right? But there's power. How they get saved in the Old Testament? Had the day of Pentecost happened? No. How they get saved? They got saved by the gospel looking forward to the cross. You got saved by the gospel looking back to the cross. Amen? The gospel is powerful to save, right? Now, doesn't the Holy Spirit have to convict? Friend, the Holy Spirit can convict wherever the Holy Spirit wants to convict, right? Yeah, we're in the church age, and yeah, we're part of the church, and I'm looking forward to being raptured, even though I don't like heights. Amen? I'm still looking forward to it, right? I'm going to grab as many people as I can on the way up. Don't let me look down. Don't let me look down. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I just don't like heights, period, right? So I'm looking forward to that, but I based on the 144,000, right? Based on the two witnesses, right? Based on the angel in mid-heaven preaching the gospel 24/7, I believe the Bible bears it out that people are going to get saved. It's been a long time since I've debated it with them, but I did have some preacher friends back in the day. There was a school of thought, let's say 20, 25 years ago, that, oh man, once the rapture is taking place, there ain't going to be nobody get saved, right? But studying it for myself and reading conservative scholarship, I believe there is a case to be made that people will get saved. Will there be a lot of them? I don't think the majority of the people left after the rapture are going to get saved, but I believe there will be a remnant of every tribe, people, tongue, and nation that are drawn to salvation by the gospel preaching of the two witnesses, the 144,000 and the angel in mid-heaven, right? And there are going to be some people that we go to church with or that one day go to church if we're all dead and gone before the rapture happens. There are going to be people that attend church that are religious that miss the rapture because they're just simply religious. And those folks, I think, are going to be the first ones, some of the first ones to what? Hey, man, maybe this was real. Hey, man, maybe that's what's happening. You know, the news is telling us it's extraterrestrial. The news is telling us it's UFO. The news is telling us this and that. But I heard a preacher talk about the rapture of the church and Jesus came for his bride. And that's not his second coming. That's just the kickoff of the 7 years of tribulation. Maybe those saved folks had something. Yeah. Amen? Yes, sir. I think they are. Now, again, the Bible, the way the Bible reads, they're one right after another. Are they days? Are they weeks? I couldn't push past a couple of weeks. Okay? I couldn't push past a couple of weeks. I think they're all done within a matter of 3 months. For me, 90 days. You know, 7 bowls in 90 days, and then Jesus is here. Right? But, I mean, you know, some could certainly make the argument that, you know, they're going to be 6 weeks apart. It just doesn't say. So just, you know, what I've read of the Bible and studied it, I think they're going to be chikum, chikum, chikum. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yeah. To put on his balls? Yeah. 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 The World Health Organization says for those that are struggling with, you know, boils from the bottom of their feet to the top of their head, to, if they can, make it to the coast, and then that's going to be, yeah, taken away from them. Yeah, that's a good point, brother. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Right. That's it. Without water. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, think about it. There's a lot of food. There's a lot of things that are stockpiled. You know, a lot of people are preppers, and a lot of countries are preppers, and a lot of militaries across the world are preppers. There will be some water. There will be some potable water, some drinkable water, but it will be in short supply, and it will be expensive. Yeah, it will be expensive. Pardon? Oh, man. Oh, man. All right. Well, hey, we burn our time. Loopy, don't let me forget that passage. Let me write it down. 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. Amen. Amen. Very good, very good. All right, let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that as we continue to go through this book of Revelation, Lord, you give us illumination, give us understanding. Lord, we know we don't get all the detail and we don't get everything in the timeline, Lord, but you give us a good, broad picture of what's going to happen. And so, God, help us understand it and grasp it. Again, not for a position of pride, but for a motivation to share the gospel with those that are lost, Lord, because we know what the Bible says, what's coming, and no man or woman wants to live through that. So, Lord, we pray that you prick our hearts, that you tender us up, that you give us a love for lost people, and give us a desire to share the gospel with them before it is eternally too late. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and for saving us. Thank you for your first advent that we celebrate this month. And Lord, we're looking forward to your second advent. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, all right, amen.